Mike Malloy here. Welcome to Thursday night's program. This hour is sponsored by Gary Betchen. Gary Betchen. Thanks, Gary. No message, just a sponsorship. I have posted something at our website that you need to take a look at. You hear me say an awful lot on this program, what's it going to take? We may have reached a tipping point. The reaction of people who voted for these filthy Republican members of Congress is starting to explode in these town hall meetings. These arrogant twits who don't represent the people whose votes ostensibly put them into office, but rather represent the corporate powers that own them, are having to face their pretend constituents, the people who voted. And the result is, across the country, these right-wing thugs are starting to run into the buzzsaw. The people are coming out of the ether and realizing what they've done. That's a good thing. I hope it gets worse. I can't wait for the day when one of these meetings erupts and the police have to be called in. Most of these meetings already have police. Uniformed police officers now stand in these meetings where these representatives, these Republicans, who are home on break, are trying to convince the fools that put them in office that everything's okay. And I'm waiting for the day when it really erupts. I'm not talking an example like Nicole Sandler getting busted the other day at an Allen West rally or town hall meeting. Nicole knows how to take care of herself, and she has taken care of herself, and she will or will not pursue through legal action what occurred. But I'm talking about people who have absolutely no connection to media, no connection to anything except their own lives, and who are realizing what they've done, how they were lied to, how they were told that these rat bastards were going to save Social Security from the Kenyan Muslim in the White House. And the truth now is just slapping the hell out of them. So I'm waiting for the day when one of these meetings erupts and the police have to start busting heads of the constituents who thought they were electing someone who was going to undo the damage that Barack Obama had done. The irony is so thick you could cut it with a butter knife. In regards to the education issue, I got an email today. Somebody sent this to me. It's from Tucson, Arizona. A group of high school students. You got to see this. Kathy's posted this at our website. A group of high school students in Tucson, Anglo-Americans and Mexican-Americans. You can look at the video. They prevented their school district from voting night before last for a controversial measure that this thing that was passed by the these white people in the Arizona legislature, a measure that would destroy an ethnic studies course that some have called one of the most effective Latin American education programs in the U.S. public school system. These crazy white bastards in Arizona in the legislature are so terrified that their dying white culture is somehow going to be corrupted or destroyed by Latino culture or any kind of culture. Yeah, and this is not new. This was used against the Italians in a different generation. It was used against the Irish. It was used against the Jews. Same thing. Same damn thing. You would think that after a century, you know, we don't have Ellis Island anymore, right? A lot of people say we should. Maybe we should. But we don't have that anymore. But what we still have, this country, other than the original inhabitants against whom we committed, white people committed genocide, this country doesn't have a history. There's nothing here. This was Turtle Island. This was a vast prairies and forests and lakes and rivers. And the Europeans came, and the Asians came, and the South and Central Americans came, and the Africans came, some against their will, some as slaves, some to escape something, and some just to find a new life. And the first thing they did was destroy the people that were here. The second thing they did was to bring people who would act as their slaves, blah, blah, blah. But this country has no history that is a European or an Anglo history. It doesn't have that. It has an indigenous people's history, which includes Native Americans. And by Native America, I mean the entire North American continent. What white people call Indians, from Canada all the way down to the Isthmus of Panama. But I digress. I digress. High school students in Tucson, Arizona, stormed into a school district meeting Tuesday night. And they were chanting, "Education is under attack. What do we do? Fight back." They're with an organization called UNIDOS, United. 10 students came out of the crowd who were chanting, rushed the school board seats, and practically overran this poor, I felt sorry for him, this poor middle-aged white cop who is trying his best to keep these young students from chaining themselves to the chairs of the school board members, and he couldn't stop them. I felt sorry for the old bastard. I really did. You know, white man, go sit down. This is not your generation. This is not your thing anymore. You had your thing. Your thing is over. It really, really is over. And there the students came in. Education is under attack. What do we do? Fight back. You got to see this video. These students demanded that their program continue, that education be placed under local board control, not the state, and that Arizona end anti-indigenous policies that Arizona has been pushing under the guise of immigration reform. And despite the cops being there, the protest was so successful that the school board was forced to cancel the vote and reschedule its meeting for May 5th. You gotta love it. Look at the video. Facebook the video. Get the video out. Get it out. I mean, God bless these students, right? It is really something to see. You've got to see this video. You have to. Education is under attack. What do we do? Fight back. High school students. And voters in the various districts that sent these thugs to Washington. Oh, yeah, we're going to stop that colored man in the White House. You know what we're talking about. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're Tea Partiers. God bless Ayn Rand. Hey, woo, ah-ha. Get the government out of our bedroom. The government belongs in our bedrooms. Get them out of everything. Get government. We want small government, don't we? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we talked about this. Go ahead. Vote him in. Vote him in. Let him have it. And see how long it takes. Well, by damn, it's taken less than 10 months, less than 8 months. And some of these poor white suckers, these Republicans, are coming out of the ether slowly but surely. Oh, my God, you're kidding me. Is this what? They're starting to realize what Republicans are about. Even in Florida, and I'll get to that a little bit later in this hour, and then later on in the program tonight, I've got some other things to say about about what's going on in Florida. The voter suppression there. Jesus, God. So, anyway, welcome to Thursday night. Take a look at the video that I have posted. And yeah, when we come back, I've got to mention what happened here. Here being 5 states in the South last night. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. And I am not at the wheel of control. And I am guilty, I am war, and I am the root of all evil. Lord, and I can't drive on the left side of the road. This is a hard life, it's a hard life, very hard life. It's a hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hate,
truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Gary Betchen. Yeah, what happened last night here, starting around 10 o'clock at night, I'm talking about Alabama and Georgia and eventually Virginia. It was just utter chaos. I guess you've seen where, I think, I don't know if we've approached or crossed 300 dead across five states in the South. It was just a monster. 164 tornadoes. The worst night of tornadoes, the worst incidents of tornadoes, and some of these storms were monsters in almost 40 years. It is being debated now because nobody, you know, what the cause was, why this keeps happening. And nobody wants to use the GW word, you know, global warming or climate change or whatever. Even the experts, they sit there like dumbasses, these meteorologists, these national meteorologists. And when someone, when an anchor from one of the cable channels says, is there any chance that this might be, before the question's even out, these guys are hedging what they're saying. Well, now, you know, you don't know. You can never. Well, I don't even know. Does it have to do with global climate change? In my opinion, it does. Yes, absolutely. But, you know, global climate change, the right-wing thugs tell you, is, you know, it's not happening. It's just Al Gore's plot to make money. You sons of bitches. God, I hate them. While people are starting to react to what these filthy Republicans are doing in Massachusetts, was it last night? House lawmakers there, the Massachusetts House of Delegates, or whatever they call it in Massachusetts, they voted overwhelmingly last night to strip police officers, teachers, and other municipal employees of most of their rights to bargain over health care. And the lawmakers said the change would save millions of dollars for financially strapped cities and towns. The vote was 111 to 42. And that vote followed tougher measures to eliminate collective bargaining for public employees, you know, even follows Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, and other states. But unlike those efforts, the push in Massachusetts was led by Democrats. Democrats. Remember when Democrats fought for collective bargaining rights and workers' rights? Remember that? Now, according to the Boston Globe, unions fought hard to stop the bill, launching a radio ad that assailed the plan and warning legislators that if they voted for the measure, they could lose their union backing in the next election. After the vote, labor leaders accused House Speaker Robert DeLeo and other Democrats of turning their backs on public employees. Robert Haynes, president of Massachusetts AFL-CIO, said, quote, it's pretty stunning. These are the same Democrats that all these labor unions elected, the same Democrats who we contributed to in their campaigns, the same Democrats who tell us over and over and over that they're with us, that they believe in collective bargaining, that they believe in unions. He went on to say, we are going to fight this thing to the bitter end. Massachusetts is not the place that takes collective bargaining away from public employees. Now, it's not law yet. This is just the Massachusetts House did this. The battle now goes to the Senate, where the president there, Teresa Murray, has indicated that she is reluctant to strip workers of their rights to bargain over their health care plans. Yada, yada, yada. Now, this goes back to what a lot of people have been saying for a long time, starting with Ralph Nader. The Democrats do not represent the people anymore. They really do not. 98% of them. There is a small cadre of hardcore Democrats who still believe in the organizing principles of the Democratic Party. The modern organizing principles of the Democratic Party. The coalition building. Workers' rights, freedom, justice, women's rights, gay rights, minority rights, On and on and on. The Democratic Party has turned down. Well, you know, this is not new. We've been talking about this for how many years? The Democratic Party is rotten to the core. They're not as rotten as the Republicans. They haven't become total Stalinists the way the Republicans have. But if you vote Democratic in your district and you get one of these guys or one of these women, who are you going to blame? The time has come to find progressive candidates, candidates who are not members of the Democratic Party structure, who would rather kill themselves than be identified as Republicans. And as far as independents go, be careful of that. That word has been corrupted, just like the word patriot has been corrupted. I strongly recommend that in the next congressional elections across the country that we voters pay very, very close attention to what a candidate is saying and find out where this candidate got his money. Find out who's backing him or her. And if you're one of these yellow dog Democrats who vote for anybody, even a yellow dog, as long as the D behind the name, take a look at Massachusetts. Before the hour, this hour is sponsored, excuse me, by Gary Betchen. Thanks, Gary. No message, just the sponsorship. Exxon's profits up 69%. Did you know that? Huh? I forgot where I left off. Where was I, Kathy? You don't know either, do you? I'm still just a little more than a little freaked out about what happened across the five southern states last night. The devastation here. It looks like the pictures from Japan following the tsunami. It does not as widespread, but the areas that were destroyed were destroyed. Some of these tornadoes, we've been told the winds reached 200 plus miles an hour. You know, a hurricane, category 5, is that the highest number hurricane, is 150 miles an hour, 135 miles an hour. I on the other hand, I don't want to focus too much on this because I'm sure you've seen it all on various news channels and network news about the just the utter devastation here. But you know, when you have something like this that sweeps through the South or sweeps through any part of the country and leaves hundreds of people dead, and they're still finding bodies, by the way, it's a real tragedy. It's just a horrible tragedy. Do you remember my telling you about April Gallup? You remember her? She's a former Pentagon worker who alleges in a lawsuit that the September 11th attacks on this country were arranged or allowed by U.S. leaders. And she has filed a lawsuit. It was turned down, or it was thrown out of court. They appealed. It went to the New York City-based Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, on whose bench sits a cousin to George W. and George Herbert Walker Bush, a member of the Bush crime family, sits on that. He's one of the judges, appellate judges. Now, we got this morning. An interesting, two or three people sent me links to this. It's from the American Bar Association Journal, ABAjournal.com. In an opinion issued yesterday, the second U.S. Court of Appeals issued an order to show cause why sanctions should not be imposed on the attorney who filed the case. The case has been argued only 3 weeks before. The court said the complaint was frivolous, and it affirmed dismissal, calling the suit, quote, a fantastical alternative history, end quote. Now, if you remember this case, the plaintiff, April Gallup, said she was working at the Pentagon with her baby, her infant son, on the day of the attacks, and both sustained head and brain injuries from the collapse of the building's ceiling and walls. She alleges the Pentagon was destroyed not by a plane crash, but possibly by a missile or explosives on the orders of U.S. leaders. She claimed the conspiracy was motivated by a desire to create a political atmosphere where officials could pursue their policy objectives and to conceal trillions of dollars in defense misappropriations. Remember just a few days before the attack on the country, when all of a sudden, what was it, $2 or $3 trillion were missing that had accumulated over a number of years from the defense budget, all this money stolen. Do you remember this? The suit named as defendants Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and other U.S. officials. The Second Circuit said, quote, the courts have no obligation to entertain pure speculation and conjecture. It's hard to say. In this case, the appeals court said the plaintiff advanced inconsistent theories, including that the defendants may have ordered explosives to be planted in the Pentagon, may have hired Muslim extremists to carry out the attack, may have used Muslims as dupes or patsies, or may have fired a missile into the Pentagon. The rejection of the suit said the plaintiff did not cite any facts to support a conspiracy among the defendants. That's according to the opinion of the appellate court. April Gallup's lawyer is identified as William Veal, V-E-A-L-E, of Walnut Creek, California. There's a website called Lawyers for 9/11 Truth, and it identified Veal as a former instructor of criminal trial practice, University of California, Berkeley, and a former assistant public defender for Contra Costa County in that state. In an interview with the ABA Journal, Veal said opinions by the appeals panel and then U.S. District Judge Denny Chin were both entirely, in the quote, both entirely, in all due respect, dishonest. They didn't mention half of what we presented to them in the complaint. They simply disregarded mountains of evidence, end quote. In a prior affidavit, according to the ABA Journal, Attorney Veal cited, quote, considered support, end quote, in the scientific and scholarly communities for the theory that the September 11 attacks were at least partly an inside job. He elaborated in an interview using the ABA Journal to mention what he sees as two pieces of key evidence. The first, one of the substances found at Ground Zero has been used in controlled demolitions. The second, Cheney told a subcommittee before the attack on the Pentagon that the, quote, orders still stand, end quote. That direction, according to Veal, was not an order to shoot down the plane. Instead, he claims it was an order allowing the Pentagon to be attacked. Veal told the ABA Journal, quote, you have a job here, and I hate to lecture you on your job, but you've got to get up to speed where you at least mention the important things, end quote. So how do you stop a lawsuit of this magnitude? How do you do it? You impose sanctions on the attorney and the plaintiff. You dismiss the case with prejudice. You call them fantastical theories that make no sense. and you call them an alternative, a presentation of alternative history, and you dismiss it out of hand. Did George W. Bush's cousin recuse himself from this? Of course not. What do you call that? You call that business as usual. So, you know my position on this, and it has been consistent since about 5 years after the attacks on September 11th, 2001, when I started trying to get some kind of a handle on all the conspiracy theories that are bouncing around the web. You know, I understand. I understand how that works. I do, you know. The internet can be a valuable tool. It can also be an asylum. I understand that. It can be both at the same time. It is both at the same time. But, and I've had people I truly respect who I consider to be far smarter than I am tell me, Malloy, let go of this nonsense. It happened the way it happened. And I cannot do that. And for a very simple reason. You know, I don't have all the information about the explosives, about this, about all the intricate evidence, all the stuff from the various 9/11 truth websites and engineers and attorneys and physicists and scientists. You know, I don't have that packed in my head. Here's what I have. Here's what I have. And this is the object on which I have hung over all these years, my refusal to buy the official story. It's very simple. And this may define me as a simpleton. If so, you know, I really don't give a damn. But here's what the bottom line is to me. 19 people allegedly came to this country, all of them fairly unsophisticated. They came here. They trained on flying commercial jetliners. Nobody paid any attention. When Colleen, the FBI, Colleen Rowley, when she, the FBI person, tried to let people know that something untoward was going on in the Midwest and in Florida, she was silenced. She was told to shut her goddamn mouth in so many terms, in so many words. So somehow, 19 people came to this country, and after extensive training, somehow, not even extensive training, just training. How do I fly this thing? How do you fly a commercial jetliner? Yeah. How do I do that? Oh, okay. After minimal training, 19 people defeated a multi-trillion-dollar defense establishment in this country, defeated every single intelligence agency on Earth, and attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. You have to be goddamn kidding me. Let me just clarify what I said there a second ago. There is so much in the theories of what happened on September 11, 2001 that I don't agree with or I don't disagree with. I just don't have an opinion because I don't know the mechanics or the science or the physics of some of the stuff that people who have really made a career, and I don't mean that in a smart-ass way, but have really made a career out of trying to show that it was an inside job. A lot of the stuff, the evidence that they call information they call evidence is presented just blows right by me. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I can't connect the dots. I go on with my little tiny life and hope that eventually the truth will out, although I doubt it. The truth has never outed about John Kennedy unless you want to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald all by himself did what he did. I mean, come on. What I was trying to say, and what I've said over and over and over, I simply do not believe the official story. That's all. I don't know what happened. But I will guarantee you that when the Project for New American Century signers, a couple of years before this attack, pretty much laid out what they saw as a necessary scenario. And then you take a look at Operation Northwoods that was almost forced on John Kennedy before he was, you know, obviously before he was assassinated. And how when John Kennedy saw the what Operation Northwoods was all about and put a stop to it and for that received the everlasting hatred of the military-industrial establishment in this country. When you add all this stuff up, and then some son of a bitch tries to tell me that four airplanes or three airplanes or however many were piloted by 19 people from different countries and came over here and did what they did without at least the establishment in this country turning its head that day. And you want me to believe that? You must be out of your goddamn mind. Anyone who wants me to believe that, or anyone who wants anyone to believe that, has to be nuts. So that's all I'm saying. I don't know about all the intricacies and all the plots and subplots and the graphs and charts and arrows and the thermite and the this and the that. I don't know about that stuff. But I don't need to know about it. I really don't need to know about it. That's like trying to tell me the history of Lee Harvey Oswald's laundry bill. I don't need to know that. So, I have no idea. I know there are a lot of people out there who have every single aspect of this horrible tragedy on September 11th nailed down. They've got all the answers. Okay, that you know, I have no answers. Nothing. And nobody has convinced me because I haven't paid that close attention to all the little plots and subplots and texts and subtexts and so on and so forth. I just haven't paid attention to it. It's too overwhelming. But this is like the election, so-called, when George W. Bush was made president. And all this stuff ties together. You know, an order by the Supreme Court stopping the electoral process in this country so that Bush could become president. Come on. There are people out there who want you to believe that the Supreme Court acted properly. There are people out there who want you to believe that George W. Bush actually had more votes. And there are people out there who want you to believe the official story from the United States government about what happened on September 11, 2001. If you want to believe it, go ahead. I do not, and I never will. Period. Now, according to Crooks and Liars, the Supreme Court, yesterday, I didn't hear about this, gave corporations a major win yesterday, ruling in a 5-4 decision, you know how the vote came down, 5-4, that companies can block their disgruntled customers. This is not the Walmart case. But companies can block their disgruntled customers from joining in a class action lawsuit. The ruling arose from a California lawsuit involving cell phones, but it's going to have a nationwide impact, according to Crooks and Liars here. In the past, consumers who bought a product or a service had been free to join a class action lawsuit if they were dissatisfied or felt they had been cheated. And by combining these small claims, they could bring a major lawsuit against the corporation. But in this decision yesterday, the high court said that under the Federal Arbitration Act, companies can force these customers to arbitrate their complaints individually, not as part of a group. And consumer rights advocates said this rule would spell the end for small claims involving products or services. Well, of course. It's just like the effort that is being made right now nationwide by just about every filthy corporatist industry that still operates here or operates anywhere. Deny the consumer, deny the voter, deny the individual any right or function whatsoever. Ride roughshod over all the laws. End the laws, end the restrictions, end the oversight. Just blow the whole goddamn thing to pieces. And that's what they're doing. So once again, by the typical standard 5-4 vote, by the Stalinists on the court. Or the, and I think they're Nazis, you know, these five Catholic Nazis. Just like the, was it Pope Pius X or was it the 12th who cut deals with the Nazis during World War II? Oh, yeah, you're going to kill Jews? Oh, hallelujah! They killed our Jesus, so go ahead, burn them! Oh, am I being a little bit too simplistic on that one, too? Too much tonight, man. Too much. Too much. We'll be back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, by the way, I already said it. Gary Betchen. Thanks, Gary, for the sponsorship. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. True Seeker. Sponsored by? Oh, well, looky here. It's sponsored by Mike in New Jersey, also known as Cosmic Michael of the Malloy chat room and Skype group. If you don't go to Ustream, it is a little weird in there, not because of the people, but because Ustream recently changed something. I don't know what the hell they did. You know, I believe in the old axiom, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if you go to the Ustream chat room, Malloy program chat room, like I said, it's a little bit weird. I hope Ustream puts it back the way it was, honest to God. But anyway, it's a fun place to go. Cosmic Michael is one of the people there in the chat room. He's got a message here. Thanks for help dealing with right-wing madness. From Chuckle Nuts, Bunny Pants, Raisin Brain, Dim Sun, to Mussolini, Tea Party, Lunatics of Mass Destruction. Have we mentioned yet tonight how much we love this program? Well, that's very kind. Thank you very much, Cosmic Michael, and whoever else in the chat room and the Skype group contributed to the hour sponsorship. Nice message, too. Where are we? Oh, yeah, the this weather thing. Oh, by the way, did you know that ExxonMobil's profits are up 69% while the country is staring at $4 and possibly $5 a gallon gasoline, which is probably, when you get right down to it, a pretty good idea. It's just a shame that the energy industry is not socialized and controlled by the public. Controlled by us instead of these corporate predators. Imagine if, first of all, if it were controlled by us, if it were publicly owned, we would not be looking at $120 a barrel for oil. A, B, oh, well, what the hell? Why even continue with that argument? But anyway, $4 and $5 a gallon for gasoline on the horizon, and ExxonMobil. Oil company profits overall are up 41% this quarter over last quarter. But ExxonMobil, one of the companies that has done more destruction to this planet than probably the next five polluters combined. And the next five polluters, of course, are major polluters, are all energy companies. But ExxonMobil, who wormed its way out of paying for the damage it did in Prince William Sound. Was it Prince William Sound in Alaska? Was that it? Was that Prince William Sound? ExxonMobil. When the autopsy is written by star beings about what happened to this little blue dot, when the real autopsy is finally written after they have investigated our recorded history, they will come to the conclusion that we were all murdered, that this entire civilization, this earthbound civilization, was murdered by companies like ExxonMobil. But, you know, if you can't take a joke, what the hell are you doing here, right? Anyway, this week's storm system in combination, where's this from? What's this website? Extreme weather website, I guess. Anyway, Joe is writing an extreme weather website. This week's storm system in combination with heavy rains earlier this month have pushed the Ohio River and Mississippi River to near record levels near their confluence. The Ohio River at Cairo, how do you say it? We say Cairo, Georgia. I know, it's because it's Georgia. The Ohio River at Cairo, Illinois, is expected to crest at 60.5 feet on May 1st. This would exceed 100-year flood stage and be the highest flood in history, beating the 59.5-foot mark of 1937. I didn't even know that there was something going on where the Ohio River and the Mississippi come together. Wow. The latest river flood outlook from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration shows major flooding is occurring over many of the nation's major rivers. I knew that. Multiple torrential downpours are setting the stage for more 100-year floods in the coming days. Extreme weather disasters, especially deluges and floods, are on the rise, and the best analysis says human-caused warming is contributing. Two seminal nature papers join growing body of evidence that human emissions fuel extreme weather flooding. Last year we had Tennessee's 1,000-year deluge, also known as Nashville's Katrina. Coastal North Carolina suffered its second 500-year rainfall in 11 years. Carol Fugit, who heads the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency, said in December, quote, the term 100-year event really lost its meaning this year, end quote. And that was last year. She went on to say the only plausible explanation for the rise in weather-related catastrophes is climate change. Former Hurricane Hunter, who is this guy? Dr. Jeff Masters, meteorologist, former Hurricane Hunter, has a good analysis of how the Midwest deluge is enhanced by near-record Gulf of Mexico sea surface temperatures. That's what's going on, you see. Last night, here in Atlanta, while Alabama was being just ripped to pieces and the tornadoes hadn't gotten here yet, and Mississippi had been ripped, but the weather reporters, the meteorologists that stayed on Atlanta television stations practically all night. I finally went to sleep about 2:30 this morning after having, you know, gotten the everything ready in the basement here where our studio is. It's below ground. And Molly woke up a couple of times from the thunder, but it doesn't bother her. She went back sound asleep. So finally, about 2:30 this morning, I was able to, let myself go to sleep. That's why I sound so goofy tonight, I guess. But anyway, the meteorologists on the local Atlanta TV stations, the weather departments, were trying to explain this the temperature here last night at midnight was 82 degrees. And this is April. 82 degrees. If you stepped outside, which I did a couple of times, to take a look at the sky, just to listen, And the wind was just ripping through pine. We have a lot of pine and a lot of red oak trees around the house in this entire this area. And they tend to come down. God, do they tend to come down. But in stepping out into the night last night, immediately after the program, and testing, you know, just getting out in it to get a sense of what was going on, and to feel that hot, humid Gulf of Mexico, just like its own jet stream surging up from the south, it was just astonishing. You could almost see it. Just like a river of hot, humid air that was colliding with this cold front that was coming down from, the upper Midwest in Canada. And that is what is causing it. I mean, a lot of people say, well, it's La Nina or El Nino or whatever. Hogsnot. It's global climate change. It really, really is. And again, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. When you're standing out at midnight and it's 82 degrees in April and you can feel this surge. I mean, it was like almost like standing in some kind of an atmospheric river. It was just the damnedest feeling. It's coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico. Because of near record Gulf of Mexico sea surface temperatures. More on this when we come back. Stick around.
Cold in July, when it rains, it pours out of a poisonous sky. In California, the body counts keep getting higher. It's evil out there, man, that state is always on fire. Everyone has a system, but they can't seem to win. Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. Instead of hard day on the planet, how much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it.
In many things, but in you, I do.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
Are you sure it's a good word? 6 feet under? What? That was a great series. This hour, excuse me, we're dodging tornadoes and hailstorms down here, and 126 mile an hour wind, about 30 miles northwest of us. Jesus, I hope the mountain holds, Kathy. This hour is sponsored by Kathleen Sundmark. Hey, Kathleen, and guess what? It is her birthday too. She writes, "Thanks, Mike and company. Keep up the important work." It is in honor of your birthday, Kathleen. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. Did you see this story this morning? A former Justice Department official who told Newsweek magazine that he was one of the sources for a 2005 article in the New York Times about the National Security Agency's program of wiretapping without warrants will not be prosecuted for leaking secret information. Will not be prosecuted. A lawyer for the former official, his name is Thomas Tam, said a federal prosecutor leading the investigation, one William Welch, told the lawyer about 8 months ago that Mr. Tam would not be charged. That decision was first reported by Politico yesterday. The attorney said, Mr. Welch, federal prosecutor, said they were not going to go after Tam. The Justice Department, nor Mr. Tam, responded to requests for comment about all this. At a discussion with reporters today, Attorney General Eric Holder did not dispute the report, but declined to say whether the larger leak investigation also had ended. Holder said, quote, I don't want to necessarily comment on open and closed matters. On open and closed matters? No kidding. Well, that means you don't want to comment on anything, right? It used to be, we don't comment on an active, ongoing investigation. Eric Holder has added a dimension to it. He says, I don't want to necessarily comment on open and closed matters, but I will say that these matters get reviewed by career lawyers in the department. They look at these matters in an exhaustive fashion and reach what I think are appropriate conclusions, end quote. Pressed to say more, he added only, quote, these matters get examined, career people make decisions, and that is what happened here, end quote. Oh, God. Mr. Holder, if you are not going to pursue criminal proceedings against someone who leaked sensitive information about your, well, it's not yours really, although you probably could put people up on charges if you were so inclined. Oh, no, we have to look forward. If you are not going to prosecute Mr. Tam, why are you holding Bradley Manning? Well, this may be one of the reasons. The Times reported back in December 2005 that Bush had directed the NSA to conduct electronic surveillance of Americans without obtaining warrants. That is a violation of law and was an impeachable offense. The two reporters who wrote the article, James Risen and Eric Lichtblau, won the 2006 Pulitzer Prize for National Reporting. Bush denounced the New York Times, and under Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, the Bush Justice Department began an investigation into who had leaked classified information to the reporters. I see. Selective prosecution. Why, of course. Bradley Manning is not a Pulitzer Prize winner. Matter of fact, he's not a journalist. He's a whistleblower. He's somebody who saw the lies, the deception, the murder, the mayhem, the corruption, the filth, and decided to release the information to a news source. He's a whistleblower. And the New York Times has published at their discretion, as have newspapers around the globe. Just like the New York Times and newspapers around the globe published the truth about George W. Bush ordering his Justice Department to spy on Americans in violation of the law. But Bradley Manning is sitting in a prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Selective prosecution, equal protection under the law. What a goddamn joke.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, 164 tornadoes, nearly 300 dead here in the South. There were storms in at least 40 years. Hundreds and hundreds of people injured. They don't even come close yet to a total of the injured or the amount of money lost in terms of destroyed property. It's going to be massive. And it is the result of global climate change. It is the result of surface temperatures of the Gulf of Mexico, the highest they've ever been, and cold air pouring down from the north. And then this result, again, going back to Dr. Jeff Masters, meteorologist and hurricane chaser, he writes, since this week's storm, plural, this week's storms brought plenty of cloud cover that kept temperatures from setting record highs in many locations. A more telling statistic of how warm this air mass was is a huge number of record high minimum temperatures. You know, how low does the temperature go? When it's supposed to drop into the 40s, then it only makes it into the upper 60s, for example. He talks about the records that were set over the past several days. For example, the minimum temperature reached only 79 degrees in Brownsville, Texas. That's the low, beating the previous record high minimum of 77 degrees set in 2006. In Austin, Houston, Port Arthur, Victoria, College Station, Corpus Christi, McAllen, Brownsville all set record high minimums on Monday, as did New Orleans, Lafayette, Monroe, Shreveport, and Alexandria in Louisiana, as well as Jackson and Tupelo in Mississippi. Since record amounts of water vapor can evaporate into the air heated to record warm levels, it is not a surprise that incredible rain and unprecedented floods are resulting from this month's near record warm surface temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico. This is what the right wingers and the Republicans and the teabaggers and the people who don't involve themselves in avoidance and denial. They're too stupid for that. They just say, no, that's not true. That's Al Gore BS. None of that's true. I listen to Limbaugh. Limbaugh tells me that there's no global warming. Yeah. It's incredible. We're faced with, we really are. I mean, whether we want to talk about this or not, and I don't know how long it's going to take. It may take 100 years. It may, who knows? It may take 150. It may take 5. It may happen much more quickly than the conservative predictions about, I'm a small C, I'm not talking about political, the conservative predictions of how slowly or surface temperatures on Earth are going to rise. Who knows? But we are facing extinction level event here. I mean, if the planet, oh God, I don't have to tell you, you know how this goes. You know, if global temperatures become so high as to start influencing disease patterns, insect patterns, crop patterns, water evaporation patterns, storm patterns, all of this stuff that is so intricately interconnected that the dumbasses don't understand. They just don't get this. You know, you start talking about deep ocean currents. You talk about how a flow of a deep ocean current, the Japan current, for example, will have a profound effect on what happens in Norway eventually. And the brain dead ones will look at you like, well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. None of that's true. You got to hear what Rush Limbaugh says about you morons. I mean, oh, my God. So if it is an extinction level event at some point, and when the archaeologists from a different star system finally get here and take a look at the destruction and look at the records and look at stuff, they'll just, you know, won't they? They'll just scratch their heads and say, how could these people have been so stupid? How could they have been so stupid? They had this perfect blue dot that they were all living on. That's what it looks like from out there, you know, a little blue dot. They had this perfect, balanced place. And their religions and their political systems drove them all insane. and they manifested their insanity by destroying their own nest. I mean, how do you... How can I have a problem living in a society where that apparently is the prevailing attitude, what these star visitors are going to find someday. The prevailing attitude is so corrupt because of religion and politics. It's just so corrupt. Susan in Squim writes, Mike, one more log on the fire. I read today that there's now 5% more water vapor in the atmosphere than there has ever been, all because of global warming and CO2 and evaporating from the higher ocean levels from the melting ice packs. So add all that to the mix. It's all bad. And we've gotten warnings. I mean... Scientists have tried to say, but this is not the age of science. This is the age of religious fanaticism and political suicide. This is not, we do not live. There are little clusters of people here and there who still practice science or use science, but the prevailing attitude is anti-science. It's anti-everything except pro-sick religion. I don't care what religion. It's sick and it's disgusting and it is killing us all. And the political nonsense that arises out of this religious sickness. My God. Dr. Kevin Trenberth, head of the Climate Analysis Section of National Center for Atmospheric Research, explained the key connection between human-caused global warming and superstorms. In an interview with the website Climate Progress last year, here's what he said, quote, I find it systematically tends to get underplayed and often gets underplayed by my fellow scientists because this is about human-caused science or climate change. Because opening statements, which I'm sure you probably heard, the opening statement is usually, well, you can't attribute a single event to climate change. But there is a systematic influence on all of these weather events now. Currently, because of the fact that there is this extra water vapor lurking around in the atmosphere. Oh, Susan just said that. Than there used to be, say, 30 years ago. It's about 4% extra amount. It invigorates the storms. It provides plenty of moisture for these storms. And it's unfortunate that the public is not associating these with the fact that this is one manifestation of climate change. And the prospect for these kinds of things will only get bigger and worse. Good Lord. Back in August, this guy, Dr. Kevin Trenberth, told the New York Times, quote, it's not the right question to ask if this storm or that storm is due to global warming, or is it natural variability? Nowadays, there's always an element of both, end quote. And the other guy, Masters, Dr. Jeff Masters, back in August, or no, Masters back in January this year, showed the connection between high sea surface temperatures and the record flooding around the world. He said, quote, if we look at the departure of temperatures from average for the moisture source region of the globe's four most extreme flooding disasters over the past 12 months, we find that these ocean temperatures ranked second or third warmest going back through 111 years of history. Here they are, January 2011 Brazilian floods, second warmest sea surface temperatures on record. November 2010 floods in Colombia, third warmest sea surface temperatures on record. December 2010 floods in Australia, third warmest sea surface temperatures on record. July 2010 Pakistani floods, second warmest sea surface temperatures on record. In the geographic area where these floods occurred, Australia, Brazil, Colombia, and Pakistan. And finally, we've been warned about a degree and a half Fahrenheit. We've only warmed about a degree and a half Fahrenheit in the past century. The problem for our children and grandchildren is that if we continue anywhere near our current greenhouse gas emissions pathway, we're on track to warm five times that or more this century. In other words, we haven't seen nothing yet. This is, you know, it's also goddamn sad that we have scientific indications, scientific indicators. I won't say proof. Science tends to stay away from absolutes. It's only religion that goes for absolutes. Science tends to stay away from it because science is the process of seeking the truth. And occasionally, science will come across the truth, and then they'll go ahead and say, okay, here's the truth. But that's rather rare. It's only religion that tells you your ass is going to burn in hell forever if you don't do this. It's only religion that tells you there are sky spooks and this and that and monsters and the seven-headed dragons that rise up out of the sea. Science tries to say, look, here is the problem. Let's investigate. Let's find a solution. But we live in an age of anti-science.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Mike in New Jersey, also known as Cosmic Michael of the Malloy chat room and Skype group. You can see what Cosmic Michael and the rest of the crew talk about in the chat room just by logging on to Ustream. And joining in the fun and frivolity. It gets pretty crazy in there sometimes. Oh, my God. Anyway, his message, thanks for helping deal with right-wing madness from Chuckle Nuts, Bunny Pants, Raisin Brain, Dim Sun to Mussolini, Tea Party Lunatics of Mass Destruction. Have we mentioned yet tonight how much we love this program? Yes, you have, and thank you. So to Cosmic Michael and anyone else who assisted in this hour's sponsorship from the chat room. These people in the chat room have sponsored, what, three or four times, haven't they, Kathy? That's really, really nice. Appreciate it. Cosmic Michael. This hour's sponsor. It's chat room and Skype group. I haven't done the Skype thing with them yet. To me, Skype sounds like something you go out in the woods with a burlap bag at night and a flashlight and go Skype hunting. I did that a couple of times. All right, from Prairie 2, these weather systems that produce the record flooding and horrendous tornado outbreaks are a common and historically benign frontal system that happen all the time. The problem is the 5% increase in water vapor in the atmosphere. Given that there is about 3,100 cubic miles of water in the atmosphere at any given time, this extra 155 cubic miles of water represents 160 trillion gallons, or some serious tonnage that's suspended up in the air. When this kind of mass suddenly cools, it falls from the sky and produces huge thunderheads and mile-wide tornadoes. They call an F5 tornado, quote, the finger of God, end quote. If it actually touches the ground, it will cut a trench 2 feet deep in the earth, tearing through an asphalt road like it was sand, and even lifting concrete slabs like cardboard. A parking lot of cars can be reduced to a pile of engine blocks with everything else removed. Humans and livestock exposed to the debris stream from a storm like this will experience a phenomenon known as degloving. Oh, Jesus Christ, I don't want to know what that is. Degloving? People who survive a tornado like this were missed. Nobody survives direct exposure. If not for modern radar and warning systems, yesterday's death toll in the hundreds would have been in the many thousands. On Easter weekend, a Baptist church crowded with people enjoying Mel Gibson's stuff porn classic would have met their maker, except that one inconsiderate viewer had left her cell phone on, a text message from her daughter saying simply, "Tornado, run now," gave the otherwise oblivious audience time to flee to the basement, with no time to spare as the church was leveled. $160 trillion of water, or some serious tonnage, suspended in the air. I had one of those airplane flights that had a tendency to just scare the bejesus out of you back. Well, Kathy and Molly was sound asleep. Like I said, she sleeps through anything. We were flying back from Puerto Rico. This is back when we took 4 or 5 days off. And a bunch of flight delays. We took off from San Juan in the dark. And about the first 10 minutes of the 3.5 hour flight was okay. And then I noticed, Molly was sound asleep. Kathy was starting to doze off. Everybody on the plane settled down. It's very quiet. Except for the, the engines. And so I'm looking out the window, and off on the horizon, I start to see the sky explode, the lightning. And, I leaned over and said to Kathy, "You've got to see this." And it was just nonstop. It was not lightning flashes. It was a few instant flashes of darkness. It was just constant lightning. And it was way off. And the plane is cruising along. And everybody's asleep. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, oh, no. Oh, no. Sure enough, within about 10 or 15 minutes, you're sitting there minding your business. You're ding. And you look up and there's that fasten your seatbelt thing. And I'll tell you what. For the next roughly 45 minutes without let up, it was one of those flights where the plane is all over the place. It was kind of freaky. Make a long story short, when we finally landed in Atlanta, it was a late flight because our flight had been, it's a long story, but we got into Atlanta about 2:30 in the morning. The airport was pretty much closed down. We had to walk all the way to the luggage part of the terminal, and in walking we just came across the flight crew, a male and female pilot and co-pilot, and we were talking to him about the storm, and the pilot said to me, "Did you see the lightning?" And the co-pilot said, "Was that not a show?" And I said, "Oh my God, I was watching that, and I'm surprised that you folks didn't figure out a way to get around it." And they said, "We couldn't." And at one point, Kathy said, and you could feel the plane dropping probably, 3,000 or 4,000 feet. Global climate change is going to make flying really interesting, isn't it? Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. to reiterate what I said earlier tonight, these storms that that cut across the South last night, it appeared we were going to be in the middle of it, but it was all around the Molloy complex here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. It went a little bit north of us, a little bit south of us, but the devastation, 11 dead in Georgia, all told, something like 214 people, 240, I believe, people. They're still, earlier today, they were still digging through the debris to find survivors. If you've seen the video today, and I'm sure you have, earlier today, it looks not unlike what happened in northern Japan. I mean, the devastation down here has been just mind-boggling. So, a couple other things I wanted to get to tonight. You know, we talk about the government keeping tabs on what goes on in the marketplace. And in this case, I mean literal marketplace, you know, where food and dairy products are sold. You know, if you go into a supermarket to buy whatever you buy, okay, so you're not a vegetarian, you're not a vegan, you do eat meat, you do use dairy products, you buy eggs, you have every reason and actually have a right to, and you should think about this, very few people, I think about this, and they should. As the New York Times said the other day, you have every right to wonder how this food was produced. Now, in industrial agriculture, which has nothing to do with Grandma and Grandpa's farm that you used to go to in the summer. You remember that? Huh? Did you do that? I did. Well, it wasn't a farm, but it should have been. Could have been. Small one. But, you know, I've told those stories on the program. Working in the garden, butchering chickens, going out to the hen house to gather eggs, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's not that's so long gone for most of America. I'm not saying there aren't still family farms. Of course there are. But whereas at one time there might have been 5 or 6 million family farms, what is it down to now? Under a million? Farming, food production, has become an agribusiness run by chemical companies, run by agricultural companies that tamper with the different plant genomes. It's astonishing. Animals that are used, that are raised for slaughter to wind up in your supermarket, are raised under conditions that if the average American were to see the conditions under which these animals are raised and how they're slaughtered, how they're killed, how they're rendered, torn to pieces, and then wind up in those nice styrofoam packages under the nice lighting in your supermarket, I think most people would just stop eating any kind of meat, probably a lot of dairy products too. Now, the move to grass-fed cows producing milk, organic milk, organic beef, or organic this, humanely slaughtered, that's a good move for, you know, people who are totally into animal rights who disagree with even that. And you can make a strong argument for that. Make a very strong argument. If you would, don't send many emails about veganism or vegetarianism. I understand. That's not where we live, though. And if people want to choose that system of putting nutrients into their body, they certainly can and may and should and could and would and whatever. So I'm just saying, don't, you know, when I bring up these topics about food, about how we eat, what we're eating and what's the best, I really appreciate if you do not send me emails about veganism and vegetarianism. I understand. I get it. And I think most people do. Okay. Choices are made. Habits are maintained. Yada, yada, yada. But that's not the point of what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say, industrial agriculture happens behind closed doors. And that is how the food manufacturing industry wants to keep it. Keep your goddamn nose out of it. Who are you? You're a food consumer. You like that? You're a food consumer. You have no business seeing how your food, what you are going to stuff into your mouth and into your system, how it's produced. You're not allowed to see that. You're not supposed to. In at least three states now, Iowa, for God's sake, Florida, you expect it in Florida, Minnesota, legislation is moving ahead that would make undercover investigations in these factory farms, especially filming and photography, a crime. Right? The ag business says to whistleblowers, says to investigators, keep your ass out of our business and your ass as well as your cameras. Go away. We're in the business of taking these animals and doing whatever we want to do with them. Don't worry about it. It'll wind up in your grocery supermarket in a nice, sterile-looking styrofoam package with the crystal-clear plastic wrap around it, and it'll look nice and red with marbled fat. So don't worry about it, okay? Uh-huh. The legislation that we're talking about here has, as the Times pointed out, has only one purpose, to hide factory farming conditions from a public that is beginning to think seriously about animal rights and the way food is produced. Now, these bills that are working their way through these various state legislatures, they all have common features. The definition that they apply to agriculture is overly broad. They include puppy mills, for instance. Puppy mills. Oh, Jesus. You ever seen the pictures from those places? They treat undercover investigators and whistleblowers as if they were terrorists. Agro-terrorists. Eco-terrorists. Terrorists who are determined to harm livestock and damage facilities. Now, the bills that are working their ways through Iowa, Florida, and Minnesota also would criminalize reporting on crop production as well. Corporate America, capitalism that has infested every part of your life, down to if you're a man and including your penis, for God's sake, everything now is marketed. What's the matter? The angle wrong? Well, here, try this. Boy, you can't get it up? Here, do this. Got a problem with the way we hybridize corn? Don't look. Capitalism has invaded everything. And they don't want anybody. No. You're a terrorist. You're an agro-terrorist. If you check too far into these erectile dysfunction, what do they call it, dysfunction drugs, you're going to be a penis terrorist. I mean, what's left, for Christ's sake? Excuse me, I'm yelling. Don't mean to yell. I get very angry. Very angry. If these bills pass and you are you like heritage tomatoes, they had to make up a term, heritage tomatoes. Those are tomatoes that haven't had a pig gene put in them or a penis gene or whatever the hell they're doing these days, right? And if you like those kinds of tomatoes, you know, driving around out of Iowa or Minnesota or Florida and you want to take pictures of a tomato crop because if these bills pass, you're going to jail, pal. You are going to jail. Monsanto, the Farm Bureau, all these associations that represent pork producers, hog farms. Have you ever been around a hog factory farm? I'm serious. Have you ever? You know those ponds that you see in the distance from the hog farm? Do you know what those ponds, those little lakes are full of? Huh? Let your mind go. Do you know what they're full of? Hog waste. Do you know what hog waste is? Think about it. We'll be right back.
with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The assault on the right of self-determination and by the use of the ballot. Of course, we all know that that assault has included the voting machines, ESNS and Diebold, and all these machines that use internal systems that are proprietary. That means, you know, it's none of your goddamn business. You know, to privatize voting, how did that happen? How did that happen? But it's happened. It's happened. You and I, if you vote on a machine, and we do here in Georgia, you never have any idea. You do not, you just have to take it all at faith. I live in a state that's run by a combination of Nazis and Stalinists in the modern form. They're called Republicans. They're called right-wing Christian Republicans. And they have zero respect for self-governance. None at all. Because, you know, people do things like insist that they have clean water or decent air or good schools or a job. And you can't have that. You can't have that kind of independent voice out there. You've got to control it. Well, that's exactly what our Bruce Jostin, the lobbyist, the chief lobbyist for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, he says he is not going to tolerate a backdoor attempt by the White House to silence private sector opponents by forcing them to disclose their political spending. Jostin said, "We will fight it through all available means." And then he compared it, well, in a reference to the attempt by his fellow capitalists to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. This pig, R. Bruce Jostin says, referencing the White House, to quote what they say every day on Libya, "All options are on the table." What does that mean, you rat bastard? Does that mean you're going to send drone aircraft to lob a missile at the White House if you don't get your way? Is that what that means? You're using a country that is under assault, that is being bombed, rightly or wrongly. I'm not going to judge on that right now, Mr. R. Bruce Jostin, you filthy pig. But you're using that as an example. And the war talk that goes along with that. By the bombers and the killers who run U.S. foreign policy for the past century. So you're going to use that language. Does that mean you're going to back it up? What are you going to do, Mr. R. Bruce Jostin? Are you going to missile attack the White House? Is that what you are threatening? All options are on the table, just as they say about Libya? There's no restraints on these sons of bitches. Given a chance, they would. Look what happened to FDR. Look at the attempts to kill him. The attempts to overthrow the government back in the 30s. So these sons of bitches would do anything. Look at the Project for the New American Century. Look at the attack on this country on September 11th, 2001. Look at the plan that was put in place, an attempt to put it in place back in the 60s. To make it appear that Cuba had attacked the United States the same way it appears that Muslim radicals attacked the United States. Operation Northwoods. Look it up. So there's always a threat from the capitalists. They cannot stand representative government. It doesn't work for them. Why do you think? Why do you think that the safest places for offshoring your filthy corporation is in a country that is either too poor and run by a dictator, or very rich and run by a dictator, or a country that, regardless, you are going to have a better business environment, Mr. Capitalist or Mrs. Capitalist, Ms. Capitalist, if you do business in a dictatorship. It has always been thus, it'll always be thus, until we, the people, destroy a system that is, in fact, destroying us. We haven't waked up to that yet, apparently. Not enough of us. So, No final decision has been announced by the Obama administration. But a spokesperson for the president says that Obama is considering issuing an executive order requiring all wannabe federal contractors to disclose direct and indirect political spending of more than $5,000. And that has caused our Bruce Johnston to crap his pants and to threaten war on the White House. Think about it during this break, and we'll come back and talk about this some more. Our Bruce Johnston calls that an attempt by the Obama administration to silence private sector opponents. Silence them about what? You son of a bitch, all they want to know, if you come to the Obama administration looking for money, looking for a contract, tell us who you've contributed to, tell us what your political spending is, or get the hell off our back porch, you punk.
It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. And this hour is sponsored, of course, by Larry Moyola. Larry has a bit of his own poetry here as his message. The day begins again with the rising amber sun. Blue moon blends with gold to give the hue of new beginnings, a beginner's mind. Larry Moyola. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Larry Moyola or Moyola. Sorry, Larry. But thank you very much for the sponsorship for this hour. Oh, did you know that Exxon's profits are up 69%? ExxonMobil. Yeah, this quarter profits 69% increase in their profit. Of course, everything that they make is profit because, you know, after their capital expenditures, because they don't pay any taxes. Now, in addition to trying to criminalize factory farming whistleblowers, people who provide documentary evidence that rotten, disease-infested animals are making its way into our hallowed supermarkets because of the way the food processing industry works. In addition to trying to make those people into criminals, agro-terrorists, for letting us know the truth, like they're trying to do to Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning saw criminal activity occurring, released the documents to, what are the charges? One of the charges against him, aiding the enemy. Who is the enemy? In the agro business, it's anybody who wants to know the truth. In the military or State Department intelligence business, it's the same goddamn thing. Anybody who wants to know the truth is considered an enemy. Who is the enemy? Anyone who wants to know the truth, aiding and abetting the enemy are the charges against Manning. One of the charges. And the enemy, the American people, we are the enemy. Who are we the enemy of? Uh-huh. In addition to all the activities, legal activities, legislative activities being taken against whistleblowers, no matter what or whom the whistleblower is blowing against, there's also the voter suppression stuff that continues. A little publication from Lehigh Acres, Florida. I don't know if it's a newspaper. I don't mean to minimize it if it's a regular newspaper. I thought Lehigh Acres started out as a subdivision. Is it a town now? Anyway, a commentary there by Deidre McNabb says that a new 151-page version of the Florida House of Representatives election bill surfaced a couple of weeks ago, making a bad elections bill even worse. Apparently, the League of Women Voters of Florida, along with other voter groups, is still trying to figure out this effort by the Florida legislature, the Florida House of Representatives, to increase regulations and obstacles for voters, to make it more difficult for supervisors of elections, and to make it almost impossible for third-party party voter registration groups like the League of Women Voters to get people registered. The idea of capitalist America, corporatist America, and its whores in Congress, no offense to sex workers, I'm talking about the Republican politicians who are elected, whether it is in state legislatures or in the federal government. They do not work for you. You may have thought you elected these people, Mr. and Mrs. Republican, and in more than a few instances, Mr. and Mrs. Democrat, but they do not work for you. They work for the people who own them. And that is capitalist America owns them. The capitalists own them. So they do the business that the capitalists tell them to do. This bill in Florida stands to disenfranchise Florida's mobile citizens, including college students, relocating professionals, by disallowing address changes at the polls. The bill would also compromise and likely eliminate third-party efforts to register voters. You know, anybody can register voters. All you have to do in the past anyway, and right now the laws are still in effect. You want to register voters? You want to go to your local mall or supermarket and sit out in front and hand out literature that says the animals you're about to buy inside to eat were put together, or taken apart, I should say, in filth-encrusted slaughterhouses. And at the same time you're handing out that literature, maybe you want to register voters. Not for very much longer, booby. In the first place, you'll be arrested for being a whistleblower. In the second place, if you try to register people to vote in Florida, if this bill passes, and by the way, this article was written on the 19th of April. It has passed. It has passed. If you want to register voters, There's several things you have to do now. You need to go down to the local supervisor of elections office, register yourself by providing detailed personal information. You need to take an oath and be held personally and financially liable if you don't deliver the completed forms back to the supervisor within 48 hours of the signatures. Fines will be leveled up to $1,000 per person. In other words, if you get a voter registration sheet filled out with 27 names on it and you come in 49 hours after the signatures, you are liable for $27,000 in fines. You can't afford to pay it, they'll get a lien against your property. You don't have any property, they'll put a lien against you for future employment. You don't have any employment, you're 70 and retired, they'll go after your goddamn Social Security check. What is the objective here? It's to stop people like you. It's to stop the registration of new voters. You know why? Because so many of these groups that register are going to wind up voting Democratic. Can't have that. How do you ask volunteers to take on a financial risk of $1,000 a name if they're late in returning registration forms? How do you do that? So, with this new law, the Florida Republicans have shot down the legions of volunteers who, over the past 90 years, volunteered their time to register new voters. That's based on the belief that, informed citizens strengthen our democracy. Of course. But the power in this country now does not want strong democracy. Are you kidding me? They want an end to democracy. You do understand that, don't you? Huh? Okay. The law passed by the Florida legislature brings back so-called Jim Crow-style tactics to intimidate not just black Florida voters now, but all Florida voters and volunteers who believe in the democratic process. If you want some more information about this, the League of Women Voters in Florida, they have a website, thefloridavoter.org. Thefloridavoter.org. But you see what the Republicans are doing. Whistleblowers, jail after being labeled as an agro-terrorist if you blow the whistle on the bastards who are pumping poison into our food supply system, our food system. If you show unsanitary or diseased or horrific or brutal or violent conditions inside these abattoirs, these slaughterhouses, jail. If you go to register voters and don't walk a very fine line in what you have to do, fines, $1,000 a name. Do you understand this? God, I hope you get it. I hope you get it. And again, I'll just go to my default position, which is how much longer are we going to put up with this? We being American citizens who at one time lived in a political culture that was trying to work its way away from genocide and slavery toward equal justice under the law. That's gone. The equal justice they're talking about now is a universal denial of rights. Not just to minority groups, everybody. So how much longer are we going to put up with it? Have I mentioned yet tonight that ExxonMobil's profits are up 69% while Americans are staring $5 a gallon gas in the face? Did I mention that? I think I did. We'll be right back. Is and has been sponsored by Larry Moyola. Larry, I hope I'm saying that right. Thank you for the sponsorship. His message is a bit of poetry written by Larry. The day begins again with the rising amber sun. Blue moon blends with gold to give the hue of new beginnings, a beginner's mind. I like that. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for the sponsorship. And thanks for the poetry. The crazy people who now comprise the Republican Party, and they are all insane. They have to be. You have to be a sick son of a bitch to be a member of the Republican Party and part of the Christian right wing that now owns the Republican Party. Corporate America doesn't own the Republican Party. Corporate America owns the people who get elected through the Republican and a lot of the Democratic parties. But the Christian crazy people in this country own the Republican Party. They are everywhere. They have turned it into this cesspool of religious right fanaticism, no matter what the issue is. And the perversion of their own faith, the absolute destruction of their own avatar. It's just vile. It's something we talk about all the time. The Republican-controlled Oklahoma House of Representatives has passed a proposed constitutional amendment, I think yesterday, according to Think Progress, that would eliminate affirmative action in state government. The official Republican Party reasoning for the change is that while, quote, discrimination exists, end quote, the bill's sponsor, State Representative T.W. Shannon, says, quote, I don't think affirmative action has been as successful as we like to believe, end quote. However, that state's perpetual extremist, some freak named Sally Kern, a Republican state representative, offered her argument for ending the system that helps minorities advance. You know what her answer is? Quote, blacks simply don't work as hard as whites. End quote. Yeah, Representative Sally Kern, Republican from Oklahoma City, said minorities earn less than white people because they don't work as hard and they have less initiative. She said, quote, we have a high percentage of blacks in prison, and that's tragic. But are they in prison just because they are black or because they don't want to study as hard in school? I've taught school, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't study hard because they said the government would take care of them, end quote. Kern went on to say that women earn less than men because, quote, they tend to spend more time at home with their families, end quote. Now, this is the same freakish woman, Sally Kern, who has said things like homosexuals are more dangerous than terrorists. She has introduced legislation in Oklahoma to force teachers in that state to question evolution. I mean, it just goes on and on. But when she says, I've taught school, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't really study hard, she taught school? Jesus, God in heaven, can you imagine any student, any kid that went through this psycho's class, whatever the hell it was? I wonder what she taught. Insanity? How to be a bigot, a freak, an idiot, a moron? How to close your mind completely? Oh, and by the way, the reason blacks earn less than whites is because, well, you know, they don't work as hard. God damn, yeah. And the reason women earn less than men is because, well, you know, women stay home more. These are the people that are making the laws. These are the people the religious right owns. God. Homosexuals are more dangerous than terrorism. I'm sure Gordon, one of our frequent emailers in Oklahoma City, knows who this woman is. I'm sure he does. Sally Kern. Sally Kern of Oklahoma City. Colored people earn less than white people because colored people don't work as hard and they have less initiative. Homosexuals are more dangerous to the United States than Al-Qaeda. Teachers should be forced to rip apart evolution. Use the Bible as your study guide. Do you know how many states this kind of stuff is going on in? Okay, that was a poorly stated sentence. Do you know how many states in which this is occurring? Is that better? Or a variation of this? State legislatures. How many state legislatures now are what they call triple headers? The Republicans control the governorship, the House, and the Senate. That's, we have that here in Georgia. How many states? And it doesn't matter. If you have Republicans in control of one house and the governor in control of the other, in most of the southern states, the Democrats are the same as the Republicans. It doesn't make any difference. They're about the same. It really doesn't matter. But these kinds of laws, these kinds of bills are being passed. They're being introduced by people who are demons, who are from a hellhole, some kind of a portal that opened up, a wormhole that goes from here to some other dimension where everybody is totally demented and crazed and right wing and fundamentalist religion and... Oh, my God. Hey, I've had enough for tonight, okay? I seriously have. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.